Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, thank you guys. We made it to night three. Here we are. I'm excited about what God has done, what he's doing, what he's going to do. I want to make you aware really quickly that after service, Sweet Seasons, who also does not need any introduction, you guys should all know them well, our beloved friends Charlie and Maggie Smith are going to be set up under the patio after service. And y'all know, come on, how many of y'all, your life has been touched by the Sweet Seasons truck? Amen. You don't want to miss that. I'm coming for my stuffed tiger's blood with cream. That's what I'm coming for. I'm ready for it. Also, mothers, if you don't know by now, if this is your first night here, we do have a couple rooms available for you in the back. And if you need to take your child out at any time and help them and give them some time to play, you can go through the back right here, down that hallway, and you'll find those rooms. But thank you guys for being here. I want to start tonight a little different. Normally, I'm pretty typically will just read a scripture and then kind of unpack it and share it and try to assimilate the text. But what I want to do tonight is I want to start by kind of polling you guys, taking some questions, okay? I'm going to ask you some questions. And the way you're going to answer yes to these questions is I just simply want you to raise your hand. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am not setting you up, okay? Don't. Some of y'all church people, y'all been in enough of these things, you're like, I don't know about this because I've been burned on this before. I'm not setting you up. The answer to all these questions should be yes, and if they are yes, it's a very good thing, okay? So don't be scared to answer and be like, I don't know, is he setting us up to like rip the rug right out from underneath our feet and make us feel like we are just spiritually ignorant. We don't know what we're talking about. No, I'm not. So I want to ask you these questions. I simply just want you to raise your hand. Ready? Number one, how many of you want to be used by God? That's good. I was hoping for 100% participation on that one. If not, you're in the wrong room, brother. You're in the wrong place, sister. All right, how about this? How many of you want to be great in God's kingdom? Jesus asked that question. He said, do you want to be great in God's kingdom? That's a good thing to want and to desire, okay? How about this? How many of you want to be a vessel that God can use, that he can pour into you and then you can pour into other people, right? How about this? How many of you want to be used in the gifts in ministries of the Holy Spirit, right? You want to be, all right, so now we're going to go one by one through this. How many of you would like to give words of wisdom? You can just keep your hand up if you want. Words of knowledge, faith, workings of miracles, gifts of healings, discerning of spirits, different tongues, interpretation of tongues, right? Okay, good. You can put your hand down now. Now let me ask you this. Now everyone may not answer this one, and that's okay. How many of you have some form of desire or a great longing even to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? You'd like to be a preacher. That's amazing. How many of you guys would like to lead worship? Okay. How many of you guys would like to evangelize, go on a mission trip, tell somebody about Jesus at work? Okay. We're doing really good so far. How many of you guys would like to be in what we call the ministry? Okay. Awesome. Now, these are all great questions, and you all gave great answers, did very good on your answering. Nobody got it confused backwards. No one lifted a foot. Everyone used the hand. You properly followed instruction. These are all great questions, and they're all great desires, but there's another question that is linked to every single one of those things that I just asked you that now I want to take a second and ask. So if you answered yes to any of those questions that I asked, now I have a follow-up question. Don't you love follow-up questions? All right, so now I've got a follow-up question. You ready? You don't have to answer this because we're going to talk about it all night long. The question is this. Why? Why do you want to be in the ministry? Why do you want to be used in the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit? Why do you want to prophesy? I didn't say that one earlier, but that's one of them. I knew I'd missed one. Why do you want to prophesy? Why do you want to give a word of wisdom? Why do you want to speak in different tongues or interpret it? Why do you want to evangelize? Why do you want to lead worship? All those things, I could go through all of them again. The question is why. Now, if the answer to why is not centered around other people, I am begging you tonight to pause for just a moment, take some time, and reconsider, repair your motives, and then proceed with reckless abandon. If your motive behind the why to any of those questions is centered anywhere in me, I'm begging you, just stop for just a second. I'm not saying God can't use you. I'm not saying he won't use you. I'm not saying that he can't use you when you walk out of this room. I'm saying in this moment right here, pause and go, whoa, I need to check myself for just a second. And I need to make sure that my motives are in the right place. Because one thing that I have learned in ministry is your motives matter. You can go through the motions and I could read you the perfect text and read you and preach you the perfect sermon. But if my heart is not to serve you, to empower you, to strengthen you, to teach you the word of God, and that you leave here full and you leave here loving Jesus more, but my motive is I want them to hear me. I hope they go tell someone else how great the message was. I hope that the church grows because of what I'm saying. Then my motives are in the wrong place. So your motives matter. You can do the greatest thing in the world. You could buy food for a family for an entire year that they didn't have any way of getting food before. But if your only intention is that everybody knows that you paid for food for that family, then your motive is in the wrong place. So I'm encouraging you tonight, just for a few moments, check your motives, okay? And ask yourself, why? Why do I want to do this? Because man may look at the outward appearance, and in fact, man does look at the outward appearance. And to people, to your husband, to your wife, to your pastor, to your friend, you can be doing everything perfectly. You know exactly when to go to the altar. You know exactly when to dance. You know exactly when to shout. You know exactly what buttons to push and what things to say. You know the lingo. But God's vantage point is not the same as man's vantage point. It's like, if I look at you, I have a specific vantage point. But if I go to this platform, I have a completely different vantage point than I had before. I realize now some of you are more bald than I thought you were from down there. Okay, that's just a joke. It's all right. But ask yourself this, not just what am I doing, why am I doing it? Yeah. Why am I doing it? If you cannot define the why behind the what, you don't need to do it yet. Yeah. Because the why is what fuels the what. So let's ask ourselves, why? Is it rooted and grounded in a love for God, number one, and a love for other people, number two? And guess what? If that is your motive, and you check and you go, Holy Spirit, run a system check, go up, start at the top, go all the way down to the bottom, check every motive, check every thought, check every word, check everything that I do. And if it all passes and all systems are a go, then by means, just keep on going, get an offering envelope and make your grocery list or something, okay? But I'm guessing that in some area in our life, there's an impure motive that we need to say, God, I want to be rooted and grounded in a love, number one, for you, and a love for other people. And let that be the why behind the what that I do. So I want you to know this straight out of the gates. I am not here to come down on you. That's not my plan. That's not my purpose. I'm not here to rip you up one side down the other and show you how every motive in your heart is wrong. And you leave here like a wounded puppy thinking, why did I ever think I could go into the ministry? Why did I ever think I could lead worship? Why was I ever so foolish as to think that God could possibly use me? My motives are so wrong. No, this is an opportunity. This is simply this. You know, America is, well, the worldwide, nowhere has good drivers. Every city thinks that their city has the worst drivers, but it doesn't matter where you go, drivers are going to be bad. You know why? It's because we're riddled with distracted drivers, right? Yeah, the people have their cell phone. People are putting on makeup. People are eating while they're driving. People are disciplining their children while they're driving. People are doing everything but driving, right? The best drivers are the most aware drivers, right? And so what do aware drivers do? When they're sitting there and they're driving, their hands are at 10 and 2, and they're driving, and they're not just looking at the road. They're checking their mirror here. They're checking their mirror there. They're checking here. They're making sure. And you know what they also check? Blind spots. Yeah. They make sure, because you can look in the mirror and still not see something that could bring about an accident or a problem in your life. But if you will be conscious and aware and take the time to go, blind spot, we're good. Or blind spot, oh, didn't see you there, right? How many times does that happen? Now, you guys are like, well, my car is a 2023, and so it tells me the second someone comes into my blind spot. Some people have got those cars, and they still run into people. I don't know what's wrong with them, okay? But what we're doing simply tonight is we're checking our blind spots. Now, do you know why aware drivers are so aware and they're so intentional and they're so good? I loved it when Eric would drive us on J-8 trips. He was a very aware driver. We had other people that would drive the van. They were not aware drivers. They were on, we had iPods back then. You couldn't have everything. And they'd be on that iPod and they'd be making playlists, man. And I'm like, just put a record on and drive, right? Or I will do it. I will pick it. And so the reason that aware drivers are so cautious and they check those blind spots is this. They want to get from point A to point B. So the reason I'm telling you, check your blind spot, is you have a destination, and we're going to call it destiny. You have a destiny to be used by God. You have a calling. Many are called, few are chosen, and you have a purpose that God has implanted in your life, and he wants to use you so greatly, but I'm warning you of this. If you don't check those blind spot motives in your life, you might not make it from point A to point B. Not because God doesn't want it, not because God can't do it, not because God has it out for you, no, but because God, he set it up in such a way that he said, I want you to have clean hands, and I also want you to have a pure heart. So let's check those motives tonight. Ask yourself, is my passion really spiritual pride masked as hunger? I've got to ask myself that sometimes. Are my acts of service really a mean to service myself? Be careful. When serving others becomes serving yourself. You're still performing the action of service to them, but it's all about the pat on the back. It's all about the post on Facebook. It's all about what am I going to get out of it, right? So let's check those motives. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? You can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to skip down and read verse 26. I'm sorry, verse 12. And then at a later point, we'll read verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible tonight. This is Paul writing, and in chapter 12, he introduces to the Corinthian church the spiritual gifts, okay? He lists them, and he talks about being a body and having need for unity, and then he gives us the love chapter, and then in chapter 14, verse 1, he says this, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. That's why I told you earlier, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So out of all of the 9 gifts of the Spirit that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, it's good to desire all of them, but especially make it your favorite gift is prophecy. Here's why. Because if you speak in a tongue, you don't speak to men, you speak to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, there's a time for that. Yeah. David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's why earlier I said, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have prayer language, pray in the Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Jude, praying in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. I'm not saying that that is altogether wrong. He goes on to say this, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies, this will mess with some of our theology, is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive once again edification. Verse 12. Even so, since you guys are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Would you put that definition of the word excel in the Greek up there for me? Excel means this, exceed the ordinary, overflow, go beyond expected measure or have an abundance. Now, I want you to understand this. God wants you to exceed the ordinary. God wants you to overflow. He wants you to go beyond the expected measure, and he wants you to have an abundance. That's why I asked all those questions. I say, that's a good thing. Raise your hand. That's a good thing. But Paul is simply saying this, okay? He says, I want you to make sure that your desire for all of this is rooted and grounded in the reason for that, that other people would get something out of what you get. That out of your extraordinary people's lives are being touched. That out of your overflow, they're now getting flow in their life. That out of your going beyond the expected measure, they're getting a measure that they weren't expecting to get. That now because you have an abundance, they have abundance inside of their life. Now notice, Paul did not rebuke them for their desire to excel, but he encouraged it as long as their motives were pure. So, what if your desire to be extraordinarily used by God wasn't rooted in a desire for other people to show you appreciation, but it was rooted and grounded in, God, let somebody else get something out of this. Yeah. Now, let's read verse 26, and then we'll pray, and you can be seated. He says to them, how is it then, brethren? Whenever y'all come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Amen. Father, I pray that you would help us to receive the word of God, that it would be implanted in our heart, as Stu talked about last night, that fall upon good soil and reap a harvest. God, use me tonight, I ask, that others may be edified. I want the church to be edified in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Who's ready for game time? Y'all didn't know you were coming to children's church, did you? Game time. Okay. Logan, roll that clip. This is game time.
One of these things is not like the others. One of these things.
Some of y'all are old enough to remember the first time you saw
them. Can you tell which thing is not like the other by the time I finish this song?
All right, here we go. Ready? Hopefully someone's figured it out by now. Time's up. Did you get it? You knew it was blue? Okay, all right, it was the blue balloon. Here's what I want to say to you. That Paul is saying when he says, let all things be done for edification. You ready? This is the first thing I want you to grab tonight. If it doesn't edify, it doesn't belong. Anywhere in my life. Anywhere in the church. If it does not build up, if it does not make stronger, I shouldn't say it to my wife, to my children, to my coworker, to my friend, to the person that just frustrated the living daylights out of me because they had no awareness of the fact that other people live on this planet with them. If it does not edify, it does not belong. You ever been in your house, and maybe you have children, and you're walking through the living room, and you say this, that doesn't belong here, yeah. Right? What if we started looking in our hearts and in our minds, and we started taking a little bit of a closer look, and we started saying, hey, that doesn't edify. So you know what, buddy? You don't belong here. Because if it does not edify, it doesn't belong. One of these things is not like the other. And I want this mind, this heart to be on whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report. And so I want to make sure that I am only giving energy and time and resources to things that edify. So here's another thing I want to say to you, and I want to challenge you in this. Let's get honest with one another. Here's what I mean by that. You're sitting out in the lobby, whether here, whether in Scottsboro, whether in Huntsville, and you strike up a conversation with somebody. This is before service, obviously, because you shouldn't be out there unless you're security while service is going on. And you're talking with someone, and they start to talk about so-and-so that used to come to church here, but now they don't. And they saw on Facebook that they're doing that and they're doing this. And, well, they probably got out of church because they got into that travel ball and this. And you start, I'm asking you to have enough love, have enough fear of God, have enough respect, and have enough guts to say, hey, if it doesn't edify, it doesn't belong. Yeah. Not because you desire to bring them down a level, but because you desire to edify them. You desire to build them up and be on the other side of the conversation. And when someone says, hey, if it doesn't edify, it doesn't belong, you go, you know what, you're right. Yeah. And you're willing to own up and admit, I was wrong, and that was not edification, and so I should not have said it. So let's get honest with each other, because that's how we should audit our actions and our words and our thoughts and our motives. I want to read to you Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. In Philippians 2, Paul writes and he says this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem others better than itself. So the first thing I wanted you to get was this. If it doesn't edify, it doesn't belong. The second thing is this. If my motive is me first, I shouldn't do it, say it, or entertain it. Now, notice I didn't say think it, because you will think things before you can catch on to what actually happened. But what I'm saying is you may think it, but don't entertain it. Because you may still have a selfish thought that pops into your mind, but you choose and you decide, I'm not going to entertain that thought. If the motive is me first, meaning what am I going to get out of this? How will this benefit me? How will this make me better? Then I have to question and go, wait, I don't need to think this. I don't need to do it. I don't need to say it. I don't need to entertain it. And so now I want to say this, though. I'm not saying you shouldn't want to be your best. I want to build a culture. I want to be the type of person. I want to be the best Spencer DeVries that I can possibly be. I want you to be the best you that you can possibly be. I'm not saying that we just decide I'm going to be a doormat and I'm not going to better myself and it's always them, it's always them, it's always them. Here's what I'm saying is simply this. You should want to be the best spouse. You should want to be the best parent. You should want to be the best employee, the best employer. You should want to be the best church member. You should want to be the best friend, the best volunteer, the best student that you can possibly be. But that desire to get better is so that you can better others. Yeah. It should be rooted in two things. Number one, God being honored. And number two, people being honored. So I want to say this. In a culture that is so just driven by do it for yourself, be someone that does it for others. Be somebody that says, I'm going to follow the word of God. And Paul told us under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, esteem other people as better than yourself. I'm going to do it that way. In a world that's self-consumed, choose to live in a different way and decide, you know what? I'm not going to look at other people as lower than me, but I'm going to esteem them as better than myself. I'm going to live by a better code of conduct. Now, I'm going to share with you a few heroes that I have tonight. And one of them, I haven't known him for very long, and I hope I don't embarrass him, but he's sitting right back there. His name is Brother Kevin Lee. I want to tell you why Kevin Lee is one of my heroes. Because Brother Kevin coaches youth baseball and youth flag football. But he does not coach youth league baseball and flag football so that I'll stand up here and talk about him, or so that everybody thinks he's the best coach in the city, or so that everybody will pat him on the back, or so that he can win trophies. In fact, anytime he and I have talked about baseball, he says, oh, I just do it for the boys. I just do it for, and he's sincere. He's real about it. In fact, let me tell you this about Brother Kevin. He wasn't here Sunday night, and it wasn't because he was fishing. It wasn't because he was watching a baseball game. He wasn't here because those boys that he coached in baseball, he was doing a Bible study with them, and it was their last night of Bible study, and so he took catcher's gear to a mother's house, and he taught them about the armor of God. That's a hero that says, I'm going to do it for somebody else. I'm not in this. I've seen people that they coached baseball so that everyone would think that their boy was the best, but they were the ones that wanted the respect. They were the ones that wanted the honor. They wanted the recognition. I'm so thankful for somebody that would say, you know what? I'm not, and he told me this, that I don't coach for trophies because trophies don't matter. He said, as long as those boys leave better men, and you know what? There are people in Fort Payne, Alabama that know about Jesus because he coached baseball. Because he coaches flag football, and he's not going to let any of them, they may not hear Jesus ever. And their parents go, let's sign them up for flag football, and they didn't know they were getting a preacher as a coach. They didn't know they were getting a man of God that's going to love those boys and give them a father figure that they wouldn't have had they not signed up to play flag football. That's the kind of life that I'm talking about living. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. He came to serve. Listen, think about that phrase. The Son of Man did not come to be served. This is scripture, Bible, gospel truth. He didn't come to be served. He came, so it's about to give us a revelation, to serve and to give. If anyone ever asks you, why did Jesus come? He came to serve and he came to give. What did he come to give? He said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come for this reason, this purpose, so that you can have life and so that you could have life that is more abundant than you could ever possibly think or imagine. So here, speaking of Jesus, He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We have the most gifted, the most anointed, the most powerful and sufficient and wise man that ever walked the face of the earth, and he did not come for recognition. He did not come for fame. He did not come to prove himself to anybody else. He came to serve and he came to give. That means that he sought to serve. Now think about this. Why don't you adopt this mentality? I'm going to seek to serve instead of seeking to get out of serving. Yeah. I'm going to look for places to plug in. I'm going to look for opportunities to serve. I'm going to, what if instead of your ministry leader trying to hunt you down and trying to make sure that, are you going to be able to be here for this week? Are you going to be over this week? What if you went ahead and you went to them and you were like, hey, I can work this week and this week and this week. And in fact, if somebody cancels, I can move things around and I can get here for that week too. And I will be here because I'm committed to seeking to serve. Because if Jesus didn't come to be served, I'm not coming to church looking to be served. I'm coming to seek to serve, and I'm coming to give. Not so, now let me say, the worship, everybody that wanted to be on the worship team was like, praise God, I've got my avenue in, right? He just told me, go to the ministry leader and tell them I can serve, I can lead every Sunday morning, I can lead every single song, I want a solo. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Not just so you can be on a platform, not just so you can wear a cool badge and you can get a pat on the back, not so that everybody will know your name, but so that other people will be edified and God will be honored. So that, what if we came to church this way? I want to make sure that every person that comes in today, they leave here more built up than they came in. That's what Paul's talking about. He's like, look, in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talks about edification 6 times in that chapter. He's basically saying to them, look, you guys, God gave you gifts, but the whole purpose of this gifts, if you miss this, you miss everything. God gave these gifts not so that you can be Superman, not so that you can be bona fide Christian, set apart, this awesome person. God will use you, but he gave you these gifts so that people could be edified. I want to tell you another hero in my life. It's Brandon Berniger talking about serving in church. You will not find a more faithful person to serve in church. Let me tell you something about Brandon. I have 4 brains, okay? I'm going to tell them to you right now. I have the brain God gave me. I have the second brain God gave me. I have the third brain that man gave me. And then I have Brandon. That's my 4th brain, okay? Because what will happen is Brandon's the kind of guy that he checks Planning Center every week, whether he's on schedule or not. And if he sees someone declined, you know what he does? He texts me and says, you need me to fill that spot? Hey, did you know that so-and-so declined? And I honestly, we wouldn't have a worship team sometimes if Brandon didn't call me and go, did you see so-and-so declined? You know why? Because he's invested and he's looking for places to serve. He's like, he's not that person that's like, I can do it if you can't get anybody else. He's like, hey, I saw that this person declined. If you need me, I'm there. Do you need, he'll throw Becky out there too. Hey, if you need Becky, Becky can do it too. He hadn't even talked to her yet. But you know what? She's the exact same way. Those are heroes in my book. And I thank God for people that travel the world and preach. I thank God for people that cast demons out. And that's amazing. But do you know that just as important as that is people that make sure that that when they come to church, they're seeking to serve. When they go to work, they're seeking to serve. You may say, you know, esteeming others is better than myself. That doesn't sound very fair to me. Yeah. I really have to treat everybody better. I can't ever think about me. Listen, the world is screaming at you today. You time, me time, me time. You need to focus on you. It's all about you because the world will always try to deviate you from what God actually wants for your life. So you say, it doesn't sound fair. I have to esteem everybody. I've got to literally, that word esteem literally consider means consider better. Consider that everyone's better than me. That's not fair. Why would I do that? Because if God commands you to do something and he asks you to perform something for him, he will always give you a greater reward. Let me teach you a kingdom truth, okay? 1 Chronicles chapter 1, 7 through 12. You can turn there in your Bible. We should have it on the screen. What's happened is Solomon has just become the king of Israel. David has died. He was the second king of Israel. He was the greatest king up until that point, obviously. And now Solomon has very big shoes to fill. He goes to Gibeon to give God sacrifices. So he wants to honor God. In fact, his first act as king is, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to offer sacrifices to him. And so it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12, that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, what do you want? Ask me, and I will give it to you. Solomon replied to God, you showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Listen to verse 10. Give me wisdom and knowledge. Why? To lead them properly. I never noticed this before. I know that David told Solomon to get wisdom. I understand that. He reveals that to us in Proverbs. But now we understand the why behind the what. Yeah. Solomon said, give me wisdom so I can lead them. Yeah. So that I can guide them. So that I can provide for them. So that I can make them better. Because then he said, for who could possibly govern this great people of yours? Listen to verses 11 and 12. God said to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, you did not ask for riches, you did not ask for fame, you didn't even ask me to kill your enemies, you didn't ask me to give you a long life, but instead you asked for wisdom and knowledge so that you could properly govern my people. You're not asking this, Solomon, so that you can get something out of it. You're asking for what you can give out of it. You didn't ask me this question. You didn't ask me anything that would benefit you. You asked me to govern my people. Listen to verse 12. I will certainly give you the wisdom and the knowledge you requested, but I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future. So the first thing I want you to get is, what did we say earlier? If it does not edify, then it does not belong, right? The second thing that I wanted us to get was, and I'm losing it, if my motive is me first, I shouldn't say it, do it, think it, or entertain it. Here's the third thing I want you to get. When you make it your job to bless others, God will make it his job to bless you. When you make it your job and you say, God, I'm showing up every single day. I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want to serve somebody. And that's why Paul told them, he said, desire spiritual gifts. Long for them. Because that's the only way people are truly going to be edified. You know, we got self-help books, we got motivational speakers, we got all this stuff. If we would lock into the fact that God gave us everything that we need to build and edify people, we could eradicate depression in a week's time. If we would start saying, I desire spiritual gifts, not so they'll put my name on a billboard, not so I can write a New York Times bestseller, not so that all my enemies and people that hate me can be like, oh, why did he get that opportunity? But so that people could be edified, God would say, because you made it your job to bless them, I'm now making it my job to bless you. So Solomon's main goal and purpose and intent for asking wisdom was not so that we could sit back here today and go, the wisest man that ever lived. It revealed his motive. He said, would you please give me wisdom? Because without wisdom, I wouldn't be able to lead these people properly. And I want to. Why? He said it to God. They're your people. And I don't want to get in the middle of it. Now, obviously, we know you Bible scholars are already sitting out there thinking, well, Solomon didn't end well, but he started well. Yeah. He started well. What's our lesson? Let's start well, too. Just because you pray these kinds of prayer doesn't mean you're going to end up like Solomon. Solomon was given to us an example. Keep your heart on the Lord. Keep your heart fixed towards him. And I want you to realize this. God honors anyone who chooses to live like Jesus. If you say, I want to live like Jesus, God says, I'm making it my job to bless you. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it for you. Yeah. Because the Father looks down and he says, anybody that is operating and living in the character and the likeness of Jesus, I will say yes to. Yeah. I'll come into agreement with that. And I will bless it. I will honor it. I will empower them. I will give them everything that they need to accomplish what it is that they're going after. So God honors anyone who came to live like Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this. We read part of it earlier. We read verse 3. It goes on to say this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. What you need to understand is a bondservant was the lowest servant in the house. And he said Jesus took on the form of a bondservant. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And because of that, God has given to him the name that is above every other name. That at that name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It gives us a New Testament picture and example that because Jesus made it his job to bless others, God made it his job to bless Jesus. And what does it say in verse 5? Let the same mind that Jesus had be in you. I'm going to be a servant. I'm not doing it to be blessed. But I know that by doing it, I will be blessed. Yeah. It's the same way in giving. I'm not giving to be blessed, but I know that if I give whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. And I understand that as I live seeking to serve people in everything that I do, everywhere that I go, I know that God will make it his job to bless me because my goal is to love God and to love other people. Yeah. You know, Jesus was teaching one time and the Pharisees came to him and they were always trying to find some way that they could catch Jesus, right? And they could make sure that he was not doing it the proper way or he was teaching false doctrine or whatever. And so they come to him and they say, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is this, love the Lord your God." You can find this in Matthew chapter 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But then he gives them a bonus add-on. He says, but there's a second commandment, and it's very much akin to the first commandment. And it's this, that you would love your neighbor as yourself. Now, many people quote that and say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Go read it in Matthew chapter 22. It actually says that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, what does that mean? That every time I look at them, I ask myself the question, would I want it done to me? Would I want it said to me? Would I not want it said to me? Because I want to live by the greatest commandment. And then Jesus says these all important words, and it totally took these guys aback. He said, on these two, hang all of them. Over 300 commandments given in the book of Leviticus that these guys had been striving and bearing the weight and the burden and doing everything they could to fulfill and coming up short every single time. They could not do it. They'd been trying all their life. They'd been studying the law. They could quote the entire Pentateuch and or the Torah, excuse me, and they were just sitting there going, wait a second, what? Jesus said every single one of the other commandments, you can hang them on this, meaning this. If you fulfill these two, you fulfilled the entire law, every single jot, every single tittle. It all hangs on these two things. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Seek to serve, seek to help. Try to find and ask yourself that question. Why am I doing this? I really want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you that this week, before you do anything, before you say anything, ask yourself why. Because if it doesn't edify, it doesn't belong. If I'm about to say something rude, that doesn't belong. If it doesn't belong, I need to get rid of it. If it doesn't make their life better and grow larger and become more aware of the love of God and the power of God in their life, then I don't need to say it. I don't need to do it. And then I'm going to begin to grow in that, and I'm going to realize, okay, if it doesn't edify, it doesn't belong. Now I'm going to begin to realize that if my motive is me first, I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to think it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to entertain it. That's where it comes into being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of us, we need a new way of thinking because we have been programmed to think me first. Some of you, it wasn't birthed out of selfishness, it was birthed out of survival. Yeah. You grew up in a family that if you did not put you first, you weren't gonna make it. You weren't gonna eat. You weren't gonna have clothes for school. And so it wasn't birthed out of this deep-rooted evil of being selfish. It was simply, if I'm going to survive, I've got to put me first. And God's over there saying, I've got a better way. I know that you've gotten into this cycle, this way of living where it's always you first, and you've made it up until this point that way, but I want you to realize that you've got to have a renewing in your mind. You've got to stop thinking that way, because I will sustain you. I will provide for you. I will heal you. I will protect you. I will be your deliverer. I'll be your husband. I'll be your shield. I'll be your buckler. I'll be your exceeding great reward. I'll be Jehovah Shalom. I'll be Jehovah Rohi. I'll be Jehovah Mikodeshkim. I will be the Lord who will sanctify you, who will heal you, who will provide for you. And so you can stop putting you first, because I'll take care of you. Because if you make it your job to bless other people, then God says, I'll make it my job to be Jehovah Jireh. I'll make it my job to be Jehovah Rapha. I will heal you. I won't put any of these diseases on you. I will become all sufficient for you in your life. I'm gonna ask Brother Dale to come and just play something softly on the keyboard. I wanna do a time of ministry, and here's what I wanna do, is you can go ahead and stand to your feet. I know this isn't the climactic finish that maybe we would hope for in a conference, but I simply want to be obedient to do what I feel like the Lord's asked me to share and say to you. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to give you an opportunity to respond. And if you're saying, I want to be one who edifies, if you answered yes to any of the questions that were asked at the beginning, just go ahead. I would encourage you to come up here and just say, all right, God, check my motives. Yes, I want to be used by you. Yes, I want to excel. Yes, I want to operate in the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I want to be a worship leader. Yes, I want to be a preacher. Yes, I want to evangelize. Yes, I want to win the lost. Yes, I want to cast out demons. Yes, I want to give words of wisdom. Yes, I want to prophesy. But God, first I'm asking you, check my motives. Check my heart. Check my blind spots. Maybe you've been thinking you're batting 1,000. I guarantee you tonight the Holy Spirit can lay his finger on something and say, right here, this is me-centered. This is not edifying. This has been tearing you down and it's been tearing other people down. And as you say, you decide when you leave up here, and you go back to your seat, or you leave and service is over, you decide, you know what? I just signed a new job contract, and my job is to make it my business to bless other people. I'm gonna be looking. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 over in verse 10, I wanna read this to you. Paul says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, do good to everybody, especially those who are of the household of faith. Father, I pray that we would be looking for opportunities, that we wouldn't see serving as an obligation, we'd see it as an opportunity, that we wouldn't see being generous as just someone begging for something, but we'd look at it as an opportunity to say, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Father, I pray that we would love others as ourselves. I pray that we would love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, holding nothing back. And tonight, God, we make a fresh commitment that we say we want to be edifiers. We want to build people up. We want to strengthen the feeble. We want to hold up the weak. We want to bear the burdens of those that we are serving and loving and living alongside. God, we want to be kingdom people that say, I want my motive to be in the right place, and I want my motive to be others. I want my desire to not be what can I get out of it, but I know that if I will put myself fully into that place of surrender, that God, you will do so much more than I could ever do. And so we make a fresh commitment. Just begin to cry out to the Lord right now. Make that commitment to him. Now I want to remind you, the Bible says, count the cost. Don't enter into a vow rashly. Oh God, I give it all. I want to be an edifier. Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to operate in the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Make sure that you allow him to reprogram any place in your heart and your mind tonight that is centered around the self. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And then he says, I do not set aside the grace of God. And here's what I want you to hear tonight. You cannot do this without the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, Jesus died in vain. But he didn't die in vain, because we're going to be people that take him in his, and we're going to walk this out in grace. We're going to understand, God, I want to put others first. I want to love you. I want to honor you. But I'm receiving a fresh outpouring of your grace and your Holy Spirit tonight to empower me to do exactly that. Father, I'm asking that you would help us to not grow weary in well-doing, because we know that in due time, if we don't give up, we're going to reap a harvest. I want to read one more passage of scripture over you. Romans chapter 12. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. I love the way the ESV says this. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. Not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. I wanted to get to this earlier. If you're one of those people that's saying, man, esteem others is better than yourself, I just don't know if I can really do that. I want you to see it is fair in God's kingdom, because the way God wants it set up is that we're all doing that. And if we're all doing that, we're all stepping up and we're all leveling up and we're all growing and we're all getting better, because he says this right here. Be of the same mind towards one another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Here's the deal, y'all. This edification and this serving, nowhere does the Bible give us a clause to say, hey, if they hate you, don't love them. Hey, if they wrong you, don't forgive them. Hey, if they steal from you, it's okay to be bitter. It's okay to be mad. Jesus said, if they strike you on your right cheek, turn your left. If they ask you for your shirt, for your cloak, give them your shirt too. If they ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with them. We're people that go the extra mile. And when they curse, we bless. When they hurt, we forgive. When they hate, we love. Because that's who we are following, is Jesus Christ. And that's the example that he set for you and for me. So would you lift your hands? I want to pray over you tonight. Father, I pray tonight that we would walk in a new level of surrender to you. That we would not just make this decision right now, but as the word was preached Sunday night, we would persist. We would be consistent in this. We would grow in this. We would go deeper. That the word of God that has been read and is spoken would take deep root and effect inside of our hearts and bring about a change. God, not just a moment of excitement, but a change inside of our life where our mind is renewed. And we don't live selfishly anymore. We don't live self-seeking anymore. But instead, we live saying, I want to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I want to love my neighbor as myself. Father, I pray for that change to take place in our heart, and that we would stay faithful to walk in everything that you've called us to walk in. And Lord, I pray that our churches would be edified and would be built up. Lord, The people that are not here tonight, whether at the Well Fort Payne, the Well Huntsville, the Well Scottsboro, may there be a difference in their life because of what we have responded to tonight. God, let it not just be, oh, I don't want Spencer to feel bad. Somebody better go up there. God, let there be a legitimate change that happens that we go, I am not going to do anything for my own vainglory or my own reputation or for in my own conceit, but I am going to do everything I can to esteem other people as better than myself. Father, may we adhere to your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now and I ask that you would seal everything that was spoken on Sunday night, everything that was spoken last night, and everything that was spoken tonight. Seal it in our hearts. As Mary did, may we ponder these things in our hearts and not just be like, okay, conference over. Man, that was fun. In fact, unless you're having a real intense moment with God, if everyone could look at me just for a moment. My biggest encouragement for you tonight is this. Do not leave here going, wow, that was a great 3 days. Leave here with something. Take something from what my dad shared on Sunday. Take from what Stu shared. Take from what I shared tonight. Take from what God did in worship. The laying on of hands that you received, whatever. Make sure that you leave here tonight and it's not just another church event that we went to. I don't know about you, but I've been to enough church events myself, and I'm not blaming the event. I'm blaming me. Where I went and I enjoyed it, I had a great time. And I left going, oh man, what a great conference. What man, that word was awesome. But there was no change inside of me. Don't leave here tonight without allowing God to do a change inside of your heart. And I want to encourage you, stay hungry, stay holy, stay humble. And if you'll do those three things, you know what you'll stay? Happy. If you will stay hungry, holy, and humble, you'll be happy. So let's choose tonight. That's the lifestyle that we're going to live. Amen. Lift your hands and receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you live with the desire to please God and to serve other people and to edify and to build up and to exhort. And know with assurance that if you make it your job to bless others, God's going to make it his job to bless you. I speak abundant blessings on you, on your household, and on your family. Go with God and be blessed tonight. We love you. Thank you so much for coming to Summer Hunger. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I want to remind you, if you're in the altar, you stay here as long as you need to meet with God. But Sweet Seasons, you can, if you want, you can exit out of this door right here, or you can go out of the front doors. Sweet Seasons is set out there. Let's overwhelm them with orders tonight. Go get you some shaved ice, hang out, have a good time. We love you guys so much, and thank you for coming this week.